chapter number 50. We'll begin reading in verse number 15. It says, "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite unto us, requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall you say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did run unto thee evil. And now, we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? For as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear not, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them." You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The character in the book of Genesis of Joseph has been a very intriguing character to me. There's many parallels between his life and the life of Jesus. And Joseph was a man of many sorrows. He's a man of many trials and many testings, many, many tribulations. There was a number of things that Joseph went through. Joseph, when this thing all began in Genesis 37, he was the pick of the litter, if you will. He was Jacob's favorite one. He was his favorite boy. He was the boy of his old age, and he is his favorite. And he made him a coat of many colors. And he wore that coat, and that made his brothers rage and envy him. He had a couple of dreams, and he went and told his brothers and his father that he had dreamed that they had found his sheaves, and their sheaves rose up and paid obeisance to his sheaf. And then he had another dream, and said the sun and moon and 11 stars, and they had 11 brothers, said the sun, moon, 11 stars bowed down before him, and his father almost rebuked him. It was almost as if he was saying, Who do you think you are? He said, We're not going to bow down to you. But God had a plan for Joseph's life. And that made his brothers even more angry with him. And they almost to the point that they hated him, couldn't stand him, couldn't even be peaceful to one another. They're out in the field, and they conspired against him. They're going to kill him. And then they decided to put him in a pit. And along came Potiphar, and they decided things would be better if they just take him up out of the pit and sell him into slavery into Egypt. And we know how the story goes, how he went down to Potiphar's house, and God blessed everything that he did, and everything he touched seemed to turn to gold. And everything he had a hand in, everything he touched just seemed to flourish and do well, and seemed to be the very best it could be. And his Potiphar's wife got jealous of him and devised within herself a plan. And we know how the story goes, how that she said, Lay with me, and he said, I'll not do it. And she reached out and grabbed a hold of him, and he ran off, and he left his coat behind, and she took it to Potiphar and said, You brought these in here to mock me and mock us. And he tried to rape me all this while. He was innocent. And Potiphar threw him into jail. And the story goes on there in the jailhouse. Pharaoh got very upset or very wroth with his chief butler and his chief baker and put them into prison down there at Potiphar's house. And they both dreamed a dream, and the chief butler dreamed a dream and said he had 12 grapes there, 12 bunches of grapes on a vine, and had three vines, and I believe it was three bunches of grapes on the vine, and he interpreted the dream and said, 3 days, so three of us would be 3 days, and you'll be restored. You'll get to bear the kingship again. And the chief baker said, "Hey, I had a dream too. I had three baskets on my head, and on that top basket there's all manner of baked meats." And he said, "Your three baskets is 3 days." And I just imagine that chief baker smiling, licking his lips and rubbing his hands, and saying, "I'm going back to the king's house." He said, "Them three baskets is 3 days, and it won't be but 3 days that the king's going to lift you up, and he's going to lift your head off, he's going to hang you, and the fowls of the air are going to come and pick the flesh off of your bones. He's going to kill you." And Joseph said unto this chief butler, said, "Remember me when you get back to the king's house. Remember what I did for you here. Remember the servant of God down here in this dungeon. Remember me." And we know how it was. It was a couple of years before that butler ever recalled Joseph. Pharaoh had a dream. I had two dreams, as a matter of fact. And Pharaoh had a dream, and he called all the magicians in, and nobody could interpret that dream. Nobody knew what it meant that there's 7 fat and healthy cows, and 7 lean ones come and eat them up, and there's 7 good ears of corn, and there's 7 that been blasted with that east wind that came along and devoured them. And he remembered Joseph back there in the dungeon at Potiphar's house. And he said, "I do remember this man that can give you the meaning of your dreams." And he called for Joseph to come to where Pharaoh was. And we know how that Joseph recited the dream, or gave the interpretation from God of the dream to Pharaoh. And how it was that he told him there's going to be 7 good years, 7 plentiful years, 7 years like you hadn't seen. And there's going to be an abundance. But after that 7 years, there's a coming a time of great famine for 7 more years. 7 additional years, there's going to be great famine in the land. And if you don't appoint somebody who's got some mind about them, and somebody who's got enough assist to run this thing, everybody's going to starve to death. Pharaoh said, "Looks to me like you're the one." And we know how that Joseph was promoted second in charge in the whole land of Egypt. And it was him that was to see after everything. And Pharaoh the king said, "Anything this man says is what we're going to do." Joseph was sold into slavery, and his brothers meant evil to him. But it wound up that he was the one that saved them. It wound up that he is the one that took care of them. Then we get to our text tonight. Jacob has already sent his boys down there and saved Benjamin back at home. He let the other boys go. And they got down there, and Joseph hid himself from them, wouldn't let them know who he was, and gave them bags of corn and put their money back in the bag and sent them on their way, give them what they didn't deserve, and sent them along back on their way. And they get back down there and talk to Jacob, and they go again and again. And finally, he sends Benjamin along with them, and he gets down there and he reveals himself to them that he is Joseph. He reveals who he is to his own brothers. And we've come to the time that Jacob said, "It's enough, and I'll go and see. I'll go and see for my own self who this is that claims to be my boy Joseph." And we've passed through that time up to the time that Jacob is dead. And Joseph has had the doctors down there in Egypt to embalm Jacob's body and put him in a coffin there. And he's got Jacob buried down there. And now comes the time when the brothers is nervous, and the brothers is scared, and they don't know what Joseph is going to do to them. They recall the time that they were ugly to him, and that they mistreated him, and they don't know what Joseph's going to do to them. There's a number of ways we could look at this passage of Scripture today. We could look at it typically. Joseph is a type of Christ, and he's a type of Christ in that he took the beatings and he took the punishment. He was sold into slavery and paid for, and paid a debt that he did not owe. He was sent into a slave's position because his brothers despised him. And all throughout Joseph's life, and I don't have time tonight to go through it all, there's an abundance. It's very rich what Joseph went through, but it after year after year of sacrifice has been once and for all satisfied. Thank God the forerunner's gone. The forerunner's passed away. And hey, you might not realize it, but if the law was still in effect today, you and I would be doomed for hell because it made no provision for the Gentile people. Hey, hear what I'm saying, but blessed be the name of God. Tonight we're saved. I got King James Bibles in our laps. I got the right to stand and shout and testify, all because our Joseph's alive and the forerunner's gone, but the Son's here and He's alive and He's doing well. I'm not saying God the Father's dead. No, I'm saying the law, the sacrificial law that Moses got on the mountain has been cast away, and we can enter into the holy place, bless His holy name, and we can get to where He is. Well, we can look at it typically tonight and see lots of things. We can look at it naturally tonight. We can see a whole lot of things. Now, it's human nature when we mistreat somebody, Brother James, when we do somebody wrong, we're going forever from that moment on holding a reserve some things against them. We're going to feel like at the very first chance they get, they're going to pay us back for what we've done. They're going to get that back at us, especially if they get some kind of rule over us. If they got some kind of authority over us, they're going to do us in for sure. And that's the human nature. That's natural thinking. But Joseph saw this thing the way that God outlined it. And he saw that the God had put him through some things so that he might bring him to a place to save alive them brothers that hated him. Thank God, aren't you glad that as Christians we don't have to hate them that's despitefully used us. We don't have to go against them that's been ugly to us. We don't have to harbor ill feelings. Thank God. Matter of fact, if you're going to be right with God, you can't. If you're going to be right with Him, you're going to have to be right with your brother. There's got to be some vertical getting right before there's any horizontal getting right, bless His name, before you can ever be right with God, Brother Toby. You're going to have to be right with your brother. And these brothers sent down a servant and said, go down there and tell Joseph that this is what his father said. Now, I don't know if they told the absolute truth or not. I don't know so much about everything that they said, what Jacob said. I just have got to believe in my mind that Jacob knew Joseph well enough to believe he was going to take care of his brothers. But he sent the word down there. These brothers have sent word and said, now your daddy said, this is word come from daddy. And let me say, when I'm sending Addie to get on to Isaac like I did a while ago in the choir. The choir was a practicing Isaac and running up and down this aisle like a chicken with its head cut off. And I sent Addie back there and I said, tell him, quit running. And she come back here and said, quit running. And he just run right on, didn't pay her a bit of mind. She come back. I said, you get out there and tell him, Daddy said you better quit running. And she come out here and told him, he come up there and he sat down and quit running. That daddy said had a lot of authority with it. He knew if he didn't do what daddy said, that he was going to be in for it. And his time in wasn't going to hold just when we got home. So these brothers said, daddy said, when he said that you better be good to us, that you better love us. Ain't it funny how we get in a tight place? Ain't it funny how when we get in between a rock and a hard place, that we'll just tell any old thing? We'll just let anything come out of our mouth, truth or not, right or not, a gospel or not. It don't much get in our way, and I'm guilty just like you are. And I know you're guilty because you're living in this same flesh I am. But we'll just tell any old thing to get us out of that hard place. And anything that's convenient to us, it sure wouldn't have been convenient to them to go down there and say, we're at your mercy. You do with us what you feel right. But if theirs are going to be right, if theirs going to be bigger than Joseph was, they'd have had to went down there and cast themselves at his mercy and said, we've been ugly to you. We've mistreated you. We've cost you your entire life with the family. You hadn't got what we've done for you, and now we're in a fix and we ain't got nothing to eat. Would you be merciful to us? By the way, sounds a lot like the condition that our heart will have to get in before we ever get help from God. We can't go down to the altar of popping our bubble gum and a skipping and a hopping and a grinning and decide it's our turn to get saved and tell God, you know what's good for you, you'll forgive my sin and be good to me. Oh no, we'll have to tell him how holy he is and how sorry and how rotten we are, how good he is and how bad we are, how beautiful he is and how ugly we are, how wonderful he is and how wretched and vile and sorry we are. But preacher, they went down there and told Joseph that Daddy said you better be good to us. That's paraphrasing, of course, wasn't exactly the word. But Daddy said you're going to be good to us. And you better listen to what your daddy said. Now, I'm not sure that's altogether true. But that's a natural way we could look at this scripture. But that's not the way I want to examine it tonight. We could look at it dispensationally, that we're not under the law anymore, but we're under grace. And I guess we could look at it prophetically. That stuff's way over my head, so I'll leave that to you other preachers in the house. But tonight I want to look at this scripture doctrinally. What kind of doctrine do we find that's in the scripture that we read in Genesis chapter 50? And I know when you say that word doctrine around, some people get nervous and go to worrying what the world's about to say. I want to tell you tonight, Genesis 50, 15 through 21 gives us the doctrine of grace. Grace, grace, grace. Thank God for grace. God's riches at Christ's expense, unmerited favor. Him a giving us what only He deserved. Bless His name tonight. It shows us the doctrine of grace. Amen. Now, if Joseph had wanted to be ugly to his brothers, just like they was to him, it'd have been not easy for him. And had the right to. He had every right in the world. When they come crawling up there looking so pitiful and telling him what Daddy's saying, he could have sat back, crossed his arms, said, "I remember a pit over yonder. And I remember years I spent in a dungeon over yonder at Potiphar's house. And I remember the times I was a servant, I was a slave, and I was mistreated all because of you." But that wasn't what he done. If Jesus had wanted to be just downright, just right straight and down the line by the book what he could have been, he could have walked up to Calvary with a smirk on his face, shook his head and said, "Oh no, them wretched folk down there in Paulding County's not worthy of me. They're not worthy of me of climbing this hill. They're not worthy of me of having stripes on my back. They're not worthy of my face being beaten. And they're not worthy of my organs hanging out of my body from being scourged. That old bunch of sinners over there in Georgia is not worthy tonight of me toting my cross up Calvary Hill and laying down and being nailed to that cross. That bunch of wretched, vile heathens is not fit for me to bleed and die. And they're not fit for me to be separated from the Father and for me to have to go through Him looking away. But thank God for grace, grace, grace. Bless His name. Grace, grace, grace. I want to say it again. Grace, grace, grace. Wasn't just mercy. It was unmerited favor. It was grace that took our Lord to Calvary Hill. It was grace that gave us a way in. You're not getting it, I can tell. It was grace, bless His name. I've heard people say the Lord is required to give you one opportunity to be saved. Hogwash. There's not a place in between the lids of that black Bible that you can find that God requires Himself to deal with your wretched heart. There's not one place that you find that the Holy Ghost of God is bound contractually or covenantly to deal with your heart. It's grace, 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 grace. Hallelujah for grace. And I may not get to the message. I'm still in the intro, but I'm hung up on grace. Thank God for grace. Hallelujah. got so far from the message, I may not be able to preach it. But I thank God for grace. Joseph could have sat up there and folded his arms. Said, no, you're not a good man. You're not a good no corn. But his grace, he is bigger than that. He's a bigger man than his brothers were. He's a bigger man, Brother Jamie, than it was them brothers that sold him into slavery. He is a bigger man than Reuben when he pleaded with them not to kill him. When he tried to get his way out, but he didn't stand his ground, he's a bigger man than Reuben was. He was a big man. I want to say, as a disciple of Christ, Joseph was bigger than that. Thank God Jesus could have looked at Calvary, shook his head, and said, Father, I don't want to go. And it wouldn't have affected him one bit. He'd have still been God. He'd have still been King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He'd have still had a throne, bless his name. He'd have still had a place in glory to live eternally as God, amen. But he is bigger than that. And I want to tell you tonight, God's bigger than that. God is bigger than that, amen. Well, what's God bigger than? There's a bunch of things that God's bigger than. I'll say first of all tonight, God is bigger than our ideas. What did Paul say over in the book of Ephesians chapter number 3? Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask. But he didn't stop there. He said, or think of Jesus, God Almighty, bigger than our very ideas. Amen. And when we tell God we can't, we just are not able to. And when we say there's no way, because this is a losing battle, and God's exalted every possibility that He's ever had of being able to bring us through. Thank God we're in between a rock and a hard place. I'm reminded, this ain't in the message, but it's good, so I'm going to preach it. I'm reminded of when the children of Israel have come out of Egypt and they're down there at the Red Sea. And I believe it was, I studied it out, and that Red Sea's on one side and there's a mountain range on the other. And they couldn't go over the mountain because them mountains are covered with Egyptians. And here they are coming, didn't know what in the world they were going to do. You talk about being in a rock and a hard place. And they never would have imagined that God is able to take Moses and stretch his rod out over that sea. And it stood up on this side and it stood up on that side. I'm telling you, God's bigger than what we imagine. He's bigger than what we ever thought about. Hey, when she's singing that song, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, the Holy Ghost of God, I was doing cartwheels in my heart and saying, son, I'm bigger than that. I'm bigger than that. Thank God He's bigger than that.
Amen.
That's His name.
Amen.
He's bigger than our imagination. Bless His name. I want to say He's bigger than our invaders. 2 Kings chapter 6. The king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are coming down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Now, the man of God seems to have somebody over in the camp of the Syrians. And I'll tell you who it was. It was God the Holy Ghost is over there listening to what the king of the Syrians said. Thank God he's bigger than our invaders. And he saved him not once nor twice. So it sounded like to me a pretty good number of times that the king of Israel would have got licked over there by the king of the Assyrians had he not heeded the word of God. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Now he's thinking they've got a spy in the camp. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel. Tell us the king of Israel,
chosen. Therefore, sent he send their horses and chariots and a great host. Hear that. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. Sound like a big old invader. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Aren't you glad? Thank God when our invaders come, that they that be with us rejoice more than they that be with them. Bless his name. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Bless his name tonight. When we feel like the world and Satan and the devil and all his little devils has got us surrounded, and it seems like they're about to come in, it do us good to pray, "Lord, just open my eyes and let me see that them's with me more than them's with them." Bless his name tonight. He's bigger than that. He's not brought you this far. He's not brought you, Brother Jamie, from a hospital bed to good health, to hear us sitting on a pew tonight, to let the devil tear you down. Them that's bigger with us is more than them that's with them. Amen. He's bigger than that. He's bigger than our ideas. He's bigger than our invaders. Bless his name. Aren't you glad that there ain't nothing the devil's got that matches what the Lord's got? He's bigger, thank God, than our ideas. He's bigger than our invaders. Bless his name. Exodus chapter 3, he's bigger than our inabilities. He's bigger than our inabilities. Moses has gone down there and come by a bush that was on fire. But it wasn't burning. Verse number 10, he says, "Come now, therefore," it's the Lord talking, "and I will send thee unto Pharaoh." Now Moses already got there and he's seen this bush, it wasn't consumed. And the Lord said, "Moses," and Moses has said, "Here am I." A lot of us never get to that point. We never answer when the Lord calls, but he's answered it. And now the Lord said, Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh." Moses' eyebrows probably raised pretty high right there. "I'll send thee to Pharaoh that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Listen to what Moses said. Moses said unto God, "Who am I? What am I good for that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." And here goes Moses and talking again. Seemed like God is saying go, and Moses is saying no. Here goes Moses and talking again. And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What am I going to say then?" He said. And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." Thank God, aren't you glad he is? He is tonight. And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." And God said moreover unto Moses, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob," he's got the whole family tree covered, "has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations." Listen, he says, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and send them the Lord God of your fathers." Now he's talking to the elders. He's not just talking to the normal folk. He's talking to the elders. "The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, has appeared unto me, saying, to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and let the mouth full, and unto the land flowing with the milk and honey, and they shall hearken unto thy voice. Now Moses, just a little old backwards, a study of stuttering shepherd boy, and he's saying the great God, the elders is going to listen to you, and they're going to hear what you got to say, and they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come down, and the elders of the Israel unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God the Hebrews have met with us, and now let us go. We beseech thee 3 days during the wilderness, and we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. Didn't sound like he was encouraging him too much, but listen, he said he'll not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. Verse number 20, and I will stretch out my hand, God speaking, I, Jehovah God, that saving name of God, said, I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give you this people a favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And in sight shall come to pass that when that ye go, ye shall not go in. You listen to this. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And ye shall put them on your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Verse number 1 of chapter 4. I'm about done here. And Moses answered and said, after all that God lifted out, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do that. Brother Joy, after he told him exactly what he was going to do for him, listen, he said, Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thy hand? And he said, rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And he's glad it was Moses and not Aaron, because Aaron took off and went right then. But it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it scared him. And the Lord said to Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. God was saying, go, go, go. Moses was saying, no, no, no. You just don't understand. I'm from the backwoods of nowhere. And I say things like, ain't got no y'all to. And such as that. And I stutter when I talk. And they ain't no way I can go and stand before Pharaoh. And I see Moses trembling and saying to the elders, ain't going to hear me. And God's saying, go, go, go. And Moses is saying, no, no, no. But we know the end of the story. How it was that God used Moses. And they came down. Moses is one of the very few that his life is recorded from birth to death. And they, many of them like that in the Word of God, from the very moment he is born, the Scripture's on his trail until he dies. Now he is raised by the Egyptians, but he was still an Israelite. He was a backward, ashamed boy. He ashamed face and stuttered. And the joy didn't want to get up in front of nobody. Sound like somebody I know. But God said, go. I thank God he's bigger than our inabilities. When I'm at the end of myself, when I've come to a point that I can't do nothing else, hey, that's when God steps in and begins to come on the scene and show us his glory. Amen. He's bigger than our ideas. He's bigger than our invaders. Aren't you glad he's bigger than your and my inabilities? Amen. If God had to depend on my abilities, we'd all be in a mess. We'd be somewhere on the backside of nowhere, begging and gleaning in the field, homeless and helpless and hopeless. But thank God, I'm glad he's bigger than my inabilities. God's bigger than that. He's bigger than our ideas. He's bigger than our invaders. He's bigger than our inabilities. John chapter 8, I'm done. I'm going to say he's bigger than our iniquities. Verse number 3, we break in. It says, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him, being Jesus, a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery. In the very act, my. And Moses, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what saith thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground as though he heard him not. Doodling in the sand. What is he writing? I believe he's writing the words to grace. Grace. God's grace. Grace that's greater than all my sin.
Amen.
Acting like he didn't even hear them. And so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Wrote that second verse. Grace, grace. God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within.
Amen.
Thank God. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Jesus got down there, that last grace, grace, grace. Put that last period in the sand. That's gospel according to Allen, but it's pretty good, and I like it. He said, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. Listen to what he said. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more.
Amen.
Bless His name when we come to the end of ourselves and we said to ourselves, God, I can't, because these people don't know what I've been into. These people don't know how wretched and how vile I am and how wicked the life I've lived. Bless His name when you stand back and say, God, I can't. These folks don't know where I've been. Thank God, grace, grace. God's grace, grace that'll pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace. God's grace, grace that's greater than all of my sin. Amen. Glad tonight to announce to you something that you might not be familiar with. God's the God of grace. He's the God of grace. He's the God of grace. And He's got grace, and He's bigger than our iniquities. Bless His name, had He not been bigger than our iniquities. Thank God, what would Paul have done? Saul of Tarsus was responsible for killing more Christians than any one man ever was. Yet over there, Brother Powers, on the road to Damascus, God shone a light down on him and talked to him and blinded him and called him into the ministry, saved him, and sent him over there to a street called Straight. Bless His name tonight. Saul had many iniquities. Saul was guilty bigger than my iniquities. God is bigger than that. That's the message I'm done preaching.